Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is Adam Pinkney of the AP course. I hope everyone's doing well this evening. It's been a little while since we've joined you, about 2 weeks now. We're continuing our series of discussions with candidates for Wakefield Town Selectmen. This evening, we're going to have Peter May on, who's going to be joining in shortly. And just waiting on Anthony Guardia. I know he's wrapping up from work. Good old Anthony, always being late to these. So, but I believe we got Peter on board. Let me just click him in. Oh, bear with me. I pressed the wrong button here. Peter, you there with us?
Yes, I am, Adam.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm not too bad. So I guess we can go right into this, and I'll let you know as soon as Anthony's hopping on board with us.
Sure.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and, you know, your involvement in Wakefield?
Sure. Do you want me to go back to grassroots where I grew up, or do you want me to start in Wakefield?
No, sure. Just tell us about yourself. Be as, you know, detailed as you want to be.
Sure. Okay. Actually, I grew up in Northborough, Massachusetts, about 40 miles away. And I went to public high school there, Algonquin Regional High School. And after graduating there, I went to Clark University in Worcester, Massachusetts, and I ended up with a degree in two subjects, in international relations and economics. And at that point, I decided to see a different part of the country. I went to Texas, but before I left, I got married to my current wife, Eileen Shannon, and been happily married ever after. So while I was in Texas, though, I started working at USAA, which is an insurance company. That's where I started in insurance, in San Antonio, mm-hmm. Texas. And that's the United Services Automobile Association. And since then, I've been in the insurance world where I've moved on to a few different companies as well as different, you know, parts of the insurance world. Pardon me, I have two labs. I have to let them out or they'll take over the house. let's see. So back to me. Interesting kind of a side note, we ended up moving to Wakefield in 1993. And the reason we moved here mm-hmm. was because Jim and Kathy Byrne, who live in town, still had three boys, and they said it was a great place to bring up a family. This is a great sport mm-hmm. town, great location to Boston or Metro North, just
right.
a fabulous place to live. So that really was what brought us here mm-hmm. to begin with, which is why I think a lot of families, there was another 800 families last year that moved into town, and I want to continue to see that happening, where people are attracted to Wakefield. There's so many good things. The train service, you're only 15 minutes away from Oak Grove for the Orange Line. So access, highways, it's just a really centrally located area that people know and love.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree with you on there. I think Wakefield definitely as a community overall is just a great place to reside in. And I mean, there's a lot of up-and-coming things right now going on, especially that have really attracted newcomers to the town. So why don't you tell us a little bit about why you're going to be running for selectman on April 26th. You know, what's your reasonings, your thoughts behind it?
Yeah, actually, it's a great question because you do have to have a reason to run, not just for the sake of running. I think Wakefield is a great place, and I think that the current selectmen that we have done a great job moving us this far into revitalizing downtown is one of the big things that everyone sees just driving through. And I think that there still needs to be a continuation of that, but we have to take it a little further. I think that there's a lot of different reasons why you have vacancies downtown. I think that one of them is you have a lot of absentee landlords. Other towns they live and aren't as concerned about how our town looks, maybe care about the rent a little bit more. But I think that also we need to be a little more pro-business as well. So it's two parts to that. Really, I think we need to tweak some of the landowners, building owners downtown, to get them to maybe fix up some of their fronts, some of their facades. Some of the zoning bylaws can do that, but sometimes you need to tweak them to, the zoning bylaws themselves, to get folks to do something once in a while. But also, I think we need to be pro-business in many areas, too, where we start attracting more businesses downtown. So when there's a vacancy, that you end up with people that want to move in here and start the business, whether it's moving it from another town or starting a new business. And I think that in order to be more pro-business, I think we have to be more inviting when, for an example, I've talked to a lot of business owners downtown, and, for an example, if they want to put up a sign in front of their place of work, they many times will take a year or more just to put a sign up, and also costing attorney fees up to $15,000 at times, which I think is outrageous. I think that pushes people away. It doesn't draw them in. So that's one area that I think we need to be more sensitive to, for a couple examples there. But
sure,
pro-business, yeah, want to be pro-business, and also want to, really try to find out why some of the owners are not taking care of their buildings. I think that's important. When people get a visual coming through town, and one side is beautiful, and then you drive through and it changes, people get a bad taste, and maybe they won't move their family in, or maybe the businesses won't come in. I mean, it really needs to be tweaked a little more than it's been. And I think it's going in the right direction, but we need to keep doing that going forward.
So to kind of follow up to that point, as someone
sure.
who's, very pro-business and, really looking forward to a lot of the revitalization efforts that have gone on already, and especially with the inclusion of the new Main Streets program, how would you see, in regards to working with current not the business owners themselves, but the actual landlords, how would you want to move forward with them to really work on, their business facades, the storefronts, and issues that are going on with the overall building, if there's any updates needed or anything of that nature?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point, Adam. I think the main thing is there's a couple points there that need to come out of this. One, just to meet them in the beginning, just to go ahead and meet them to start with, because I think that if you don't have communication, then you're just, setting yourself up for having issues with them. But meeting them, finding out what they want to do with their particular spot. If they, for example, like maybe Cafe Molise, as an example, that's gone, mm-hmm. and the building itself, it's a standout, and it's not a positive standout. So meeting with the owner, finding out why they're not fixing it up, and then what we can do to help them. If there's something, we can give them some tax incentives or some breaks to work with them, trying to find ways to make our town look nicer. And also maybe it's a tenant situation. Maybe they have, a few tenants that they want to bring in, but they need to pay, for some work to be done to begin with to get those tenants in. So I think it depends on each tenant probably, or each owner rather, is different. So I think you have to meet each one, find out what's making them tick, and then go from there. But in the event that they don't want to work with us, then I think we have to do something ourselves as selectmen, as well as other mm-hmm. folks of the town. Steve Mayo, the town administrator, but other, could be the building inspector, could be that their building is falling apart, collapsing, or whatever it happens to be. But
right.
It may not just be the front that everyone sees. It could be the structure. There could be other things that he has problems with that I don't know about. But I think one is to meet the person, find out what's going on, why does it look like it does. If the front is looking less desirable, then it could be the interior as well as the structure itself could be at risk. So, but I think we have to meet each one that we kind of pin down that is what we consider needing some work.
Those are all excellent points. The only thing I would kind of add on to it, to get a little more insight on it. You mentioned about having to, if it's not the landlord themselves that aren't, maybe they're 50-50 part of the problem, if you will, for lack of a better term,
in regards to
fixing up an area. How would you get a buy-in from a business owner that's either currently in the building or is looking to move in? So to revitalize the town, obviously, there's empty storefronts. If you have someone that's new coming in, the landlord's willing to kind of work with them, say they're going to give them half the rent while they renovate or what have you in regards to making that work for them. How would you approach the business owner in regards to helping them out to kind of incentivize? I can't talk.
I know what you mean. Sure. Tax incentive
wise,
I mean,
really put the money into it.
Right. It could be that, I think there's a couple ways. I think one of them is just what you mentioned earlier, that, if we can give them some tax breaks, give them some incentive to move in, maybe there's a way, and I'm not sure exactly how that would work tax-wise, but I'm just thinking that, for example, you know, we have, you know, 9 nail salons downtown. We have a number of restaurants. I mean, what are the ways, and that comes out in some of the downtown literature that just was, we had a study done recently with, actually, let me think of the name here. We had, give me 1 sec. So really the Wakefield Downtown Business District project that really came out recently, and that really was a composition analysis of the downtown. And a lot of it points to Marketplace. Marketplace in Linfield really was designed after exactly like a downtown Wakefield area. So we don't really have to change our downtown to them. They really have taken a lot of what we have and done it better, I think, in Marketplace. So getting back to incentives, that I think we have to work on some more, but I think that if we can show them that there's a more of a variety downtown, walking distance certainly is easy to get around downtown. I think some parking issues pop up too. You know, maybe we have to, you know, change some of the parking patterns. And that's always a big complaint for business owners downtown. No one has any place to park. You know, maybe we have to put some more two-hour signs up, you know, so people that are working, they just can't, you know, fill those potential business customer spots. You know, maybe there's a way to have people park at the new Galvin. And if we're
right.
full-time workers downtown, maybe have a little shuttle service or whatever. But there's a lot of different incentives. But I think business-wise, the tax incentive is one of the bigger ones that I've thought of. But we have to work on that some more.
Yeah, no,
you know, to draw
those
people
are
in.
All. Yeah, those are all really good, valid points. Thank you for sharing that. I actually have Anthony here with us. He's been kind of waiting. I wanted to give him some time to listen for once. Anthony, you there with us?
Yeah, I'm not used to a show where I don't talk over everybody and for the most of the time. It's kind of weird.
No, we like you, Anthony. That's fine.
No, it is. I'm sorry I'm late. I do.
No worries.
I heard the questions. I heard the response. I thought they were great. And I'm curious, did Peter already give a background on himself and everything else?
Yes,
he
said
a little bit, sure.
Perfect.
He said that.
Sorry, well then
he said what I was going to say is that he said that you're his idol. That's exactly what he said verbatim. We can go back.
Well, I'm going to write you a $500 check now.
That must have been an earlier conversation.
Well, if you don't mind, I would love to get into asking some questions about education, Adam. I don't know if you guys have already covered it or.
No, fire it up.
No, we haven't at all. We were just going about business, so all you, man.
So I'll ask you, I mean, same question I asked Tony. It's the hill I'm ready to die on. I know it's not the hill everybody is, but it was the headline of the Wakefield Observer. The Wakefield item covered it, if they didn't make it as intense. The selectmen sent in a statement of intent for a new high school. All toll roads are pointing to a debt exclusion for the high school. As a selectman, do you think you would support increasing taxes to build a new high school?
You know, that's a great question. I'm sure everyone in town wants to know that. Let's see. Let me back up a little bit. Try not to be a politician and not answer your question. But there's been a recent study that came out with the five different options up front. I don't know if you read that. Or did you go to that meeting
Thursday night?
Okay. So, I mean, anywhere I think between, and some of this from memory, just correct me if I'm off, but basically between 60 million and 129 million were the five different ranges. Or the one range in between the five different spots. But they're talking about repair or replace. And I think the key is to find out, for example, let's even back up further. Go back to the Galvin. So the Galvin, when that was finally all said and done, the matching funds were about 54.6%, if I remember. So for every dollar Wakefield put in, we had matching funds. Reimbursement rate was 54%, which is tremendous. I think it matters a great deal what we would get matching fund-wise, whether it's a repair or a replace. And you actually do get matching funds. I just don't know the percentage when you try to repair something like the high school. There's a lot of issues with the high school now. I think that if you end up with an option like $120 million to replace the high school, and at the same time you're going to get 54%, so you use the same Galvin formula, that's quite a reimbursement rate. And I think you'd end up with the school being costing the town, you know, 60. And this is one example, of course. I don't know the final numbers, which is kind of key. But if you have, say, the upper number, say it's $129 million, and the matching funds, you know, going to be closer to $64,500, something like that, or even lower, actually. It might even be, you know, 50-something million that the new high school would cost us, or repairing it for $75 million. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer, you know, that you have so many things wrong with the school. It's not just the whole HVAC system. It's the roof is bad. God knows what kind of chemicals, you know, people are potentially inhaling there, honestly, even today. So a new high school seems like a no-brainer. I know it was a 6-1 vote, I think, in regards to replacing it by the selectmen. I think there was one holdout.
No, there was. Sorry, Adam, I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, go ahead.
All I was going to say was it was actually 5-1 on the vote. I think one of the selectmen had to step out for a
moment. Oh, I get you.
Yeah, but that's not there. I mean, it's not really that big of a deal. It's still majority.
Yeah, no, I didn't know. I thought it was 6-1, but 5-1. Say so. The main thing is, I think that, and I met with Superintendent Smith for about 45 minutes about 2 weeks ago. And we had a great conversation, talked a lot about the schools in town as well as the research I've done on my own. But the high school, I don't think anyone knows for sure if it has to be replaced at this moment. But everything I've read, everyone I've talked with, spoken with, really the indication to me is somewhere down the road we're going to have to replace the whole school. That's what I think. But there may be ways to and I think we should, obviously, something like the Savings Bank Theater. You know, you don't want to just tear that down, you know. So there may be ways to, you know, save and encapsulate almost some of the beautiful projects that were done just recently. I'm sure the Savings Bank would not want that to happen. They invested a lot, besides the name, the monies, they invested were just fabulous for the town. So I think that there's ways to keep a part of it, at least for like maybe the theater piece. But the places like the science lab, I mean, those are it's horrible conditions, probably dangerous conditions, you know. So there's certain parts of the school that are like that. Replacing an HVAC system on a current building, originally built in 1950, and in 1971 with the fire, the last time it was rehabbed, it was actually 74. It's just really hard to bring a school up to today's standards working with a bunch of pieces. The 50s piece, the original piece that was built, was really a solid piece of that puzzle. But after the fire, when they did their second wave of building, it really is not that good a structure. So trying to revitalize a building like this would probably be very costly, and at the end of the day, you're probably not going to have it updated to the standards that are required to keep people coming into town to go to the school. We need to attract people to move here and businesses to move here. And we're not going to do that, I don't think, by having our schools crash. The Galvin is a four-star hill situation. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, it's gorgeous. Hopefully everyone in town has been there.
Go to a
town meeting and check it out. It's just gorgeous.
It's true, even though I try to avoid town meetings like the plague. But it's but you're right in the sense that it is gorgeous, and it speaks to your point, and I want to harp on this because this is a big point that I always make. You know, nothing else matters after, you know, to new homeowners more. I shouldn't say nothing else. But the most important thing to homeowners is the school system. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, we talk a lot about businesses, and there was a great article, and I can't remember where I saw it, so just take my word, but the theory basically was that if you want to revitalize your downtown, you have to invest in your school system. And it's because when you build a new school system, you have a lot of young families that move in. Young families that tend to be the people who go out and shopping, you know, who go out and shop, who go to restaurants, who do that stuff. And they don't, you know, nobody moves to a town and says, I'm moving there because of their downtown. They say, I'm moving there because of their school system. The downtown is an auxiliary benefit to being a nice town in general. So I think in theory, you know, at least in my head, it's you got to build a strong school system first. And, you know, you kind of alluded to it. I mean, I want to just push you a little bit more.
Sure.
Ask one other question. No, yep. Well, the follow-up, it does seem like, and correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying is, assuming the reimbursement rate is the same, that you would support an override for the high school, you know, with these two assumptions, with these two caveats, if I heard you correctly, that the reimbursement rate is high and that it's lower than a replacement cost. And the corollary I'm going to ask to this is, what do you say to Greenwood parents who will then say, you know, I've been here for 18 years now. I've seen a Woodville and Walton parents, to a certain extent, the Greenwood's just bigger, that's why I'm picking on. But you see a new Woodville, a new Dolbear, a new Galvin, and now a new high school, and their elementary school still hasn't been rebuilt. So, same with the Walton. Again, just a smaller school, so I'm not harping on it as much. So am I right when I hear you say about the override on the high school that you would support it with those two conditions? And then what do you say to Greenwood families who are saying, okay, that's great, but what about my school?
Yeah,
and
it's not just Greenwood
to a certain extent.
No, excellent, excellent questions. The thing is, with the Greenwood and the Walt, they're both in rough shape. I mean, let's get down to the brass tacks here. I'll go back and answer the first part. So what you reiterated to what I was saying is correct. If you have a 54.6% reimbursement rate similar to the Galvin, and it costs $75 million to repair the high school, or it's going to cost $54 million because of the reimbursement rate to build a new one, again, that's a no-brainer. But those are excellent questions for the Greenwood and the Walton. Let's see, the Walton was built in 52, was last renovated in 93. Needs a
Don't
lot
you,
of work.
I'm impressed with the history, and I go back, and I'm going to say this about all the candidates. I think it speaks volumes to the quality of people we have running in this town. You know, I don't even know some of the dates you're throwing out, and I feel like I'm pretty involved with that. Very impressive guy.
Well,
you know.
Don't be impressed with me yet. I mean, the main thing is that, you know, everyone's human. I just happen to be reading a lot lately about the schools because, going back to Walton, built in 52, renovated in 93. That was the year my son was born, so it's kind of a cheat sheet because I know that. So Walton needs a ton of work, and the Greenwood was built in 1897, I think, and that needs a ton of work. I mean, the bathrooms are in the basement. If anyone has been over to St. Joseph's, school. They're both great schools, but just, I think it was built in 1925 with St. Joseph's. But when you have bathrooms in the basement, or the old Nazareth that's just being sold, the bathrooms in the basement for K through 4, or now it's really 1 through 4, but it's just not a good thing. If you're a parent, you don't want your kids going to a dark, dreary basement, okay? It's not conducive for first to fourth graders. So the Greenwood and Walton, I think actually they may have come close to finishing up their lifespan. I don't know if we really want to sink money into either one of the schools. And my idea is, I think that the Doyle has been transformed into an early childhood center. So that's kind of a separate issue. But you have the Dolbear, the Woodville, the Walton, the Greenwood. The Dolbear and Woodville, Dolbear is in good shape. I mean, obviously it was renovated in 99, built in 52. My son actually went there. Woodville, very good shape, and was built brand new in 2002. Woodville, it might need some tweaks, but for what we're talking about, it doesn't need anything in comparison. So I think the town probably, and this is just what I've been thinking about, but I think the town might really need 3 elementary schools, not 4. So putting money into the Walton and Greenwood probably is not a good investment for the town.
Yeah, you may be right. I know, and I'd have to review my notes from years ago, but on the school committee, we had a very similar discussion, and I know at the time,
I think the issue was, you know, we wanted to go to 3 schools, but just very practically, we couldn't absorb having, you know, either, clearly the Walton couldn't take the Greenwood population, and we couldn't have the Greenwood school take the Walton population without some major work.
Right, but I think the school committee decided not to look at it a few years ago, but I think they will in the near future revisit the whole thing, because the school committee really has to be the one who generates, I think, the starting points, the conversations to begin again. I think that's really where it has to start, with the superintendent, with the school committee. That has to really be the impetus, and I think the Board of Selectmen will pick it up once they bring it to the table again. I think that's how it's probably going to work.
But, no, I think I think you're right. I've always said, you know, you can be a budget hawk on the school committee, and I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with these people being fiscally conservative. I thought I was fiscally conservative on the school committee. I still think I am politically, but in the sense of if you're on the school committee and you're not going to advocate for a new school, then, you know, it's hard for you to expect the selectmen, because when you're on the school committee, that's what you're looking at 24/7. So I think you make
right.
a very fair point.
But you're right, though. I think but the Greenwood and Walton, that the parents that live in those areas, if I had young kids, if the schools in the neighborhood, it's tough to want to even have another school somewhere else. But at the same time, I think being fiscally responsible, I think the town's come a long way in the last 8 years to be really very fiscally responsible, and I think it's wonderful. And Steve Mayo has a lot of credits, and the selectmen and other groups in town have a lot to, we need to thank them for a lot of things they've done. But I think that because of the age and the conditions of both Walton and Greenwood, I think it would be tough to sink money into those schools right now.
Hey, so
I would,
you know, I want to thank you for coming on. And I wanted to give you a moment just so you can kind of, to close out here, because we only have about a minute. If you just want to let people to know why to vote and when to vote.
Sure. Yeah. April 26th, Peter May, May. It's a month that people want to have in December. They want to have May weather. So, I'm behind the revitalization of the business district. Another issue we didn't get into, the opiate and opioid problem. I think that ties into the schools. And we have drug dealers that give their wares away for free to get people addicted that are kids. It's horrible. And that ties into pulling down the schools. Like you said, I think, Anthony, you mentioned that the schools are really the piece that draws families to town, and the town downtown is maybe a secondary, but they're both up there on the top two for sure. But the drug problem, it's not just here. It's all over the country. It's all over the state. It's all over Wakefield. We don't want to be known for a place to go to buy drugs, you know.
Okay.
No, and well, hopefully this is recording still, but thank you for coming on. Really appreciate
sure.
it. And for everybody listening, thank you for listening. As always, blogtalkradio.com/AP_course. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and our new website, which I won't have time to say because it's going to cut out. So thank you again. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy.
Thank you,
guys.
Anthony.
Have a good
thank
night.
You, Adam. Very good.
Well, thank
no
you.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.